What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, October 8th, 2020. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have a lot to talk about today. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. And we're going to do news until we run out of news. And then we will open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. The big news right now, hurricane watches have been posted for High Island, Texas, all the way to Grand Isle, Louisiana. Hurricane Delta is predicted to strike the Gulf Coast tomorrow. The outer edges of the storm are already making landfall here. It's currently a Cat 2, but it's still over the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico, and they're expecting to hit possibly Cat 3 by the time it comes on shore, which is a little bit less than they had been prognosticating a while back when they were talking about it being a Cat 4. So a little bit of good news for those poor beleaguered people along the Gulf Coast there, because, I mean, they've had so many storms this season, and they're just coming and coming and coming, and we still got a few more months left in hurricane season. So all you hunters out there, shoot the hurricane as it comes on by. So Louisiana is bracing for Hurricane Delta. They're still predicting Cat 3 by the time it hits the land. And Trump is out there saying people need to be prepared, be careful, and be safe. And it's going to hit the coast tomorrow night. And then 2 days later, we're going to get the remnants of it right here in Indiana here. Now, the other big news, of course, was last night was the vice presidential debate between Mike Pence and Kamala Harris. And depending upon who you ask, you get different answers as to who won it. Obviously, Democrats and liberals think that Kamala Harris was wonderful. Republicans think that Mike Pence did very, very well. But it tends to be leaning more toward Mike Pence. There's a YouTube video out we linked to on how Mike Pence scored an all-points victory. And then we're looking at this other article that came out of Zero Hedge, where Pence trounces gaffe machine Harris. And part of the problem was that Kamala Harris basically came out with some statements that were not true, to put it gently and delicately and politely. And so Harris faced off across this 12-foot space of potentially deadly air and plexiglass against Mike Pence with USA Today's Susan Page as a moderator at the University of Utah. And ahead of the debate, despite media's constant crowing about Biden's double-digit lead in national polls, Trump is actually slightly outperforming against Biden relative to Hillary in the battleground states. Now, remember, we've already established that the corporate media is getting numbers that they want to show you, not what is really reflective of the American voter. And they do that by the very simple mechanism of oversampling among Democrats. They will ask, for example, 60 Democrats who you're going to vote for in November, as opposed to asking 40 Republicans. And so they'll convert those to percentages and they'll get the numbers that they want you to believe in. But remember back in 2016, the corporate media was out there saying Hillary's going to win in a landslide. She's so far ahead of Trump. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, this time they're being a little bit closer, so that if Trump does pull off a re-election victory, they won't look quite so foolish as they did in 2016, but they're still going to look foolish here. Now, if Joe Biden steals this next election and is unable to serve a full term, which seems likely given the signs of deterioration, Kamala Harris could become president of the most powerful nation on earth, largely on her ability to lie convincingly. And apparently, during last night's debate, Harris told fib after fib with scarcely a blink and got little pushback from Mike Pence. This is coming out of an article in Russia Today. So in the end, she walked off relatively unscathed and won praise from her adoring corporate media, which has always loved her more than they love the voters. Now, her first deception came when she feigned outrage over last month's New York Times non-bombshell about President Donald Trump's tax returns. Remember when that one came on out and they were looking for signs that he was cheating and that he had connections with Russia, none of which were there. And it basically came on out that Trump's tax attorneys had followed the law. They had used every little loophole that is legally allowed to keep his taxes down. And so there was nothing illegal about what he did. It looks bad when a man with that much money doesn't pay taxes. But again, they were trying to find somewhere where he actually cheated the tax system or he had connection with Russia. They didn't find it. But Kamala Harris was out there trying to exploit that. They're still out there with that canard about how Donald Trump recommended injecting bleach to deal with coronavirus. That was fake news. And a lot of people caught Kamala Harris on this. There was no fact-checking going on here. Another YouTube video from Sean Hannity, Kamala Harris' cringeworthy debate was packed with lies. Now, Kamala Harris at one point was heaping praise on the Black Lives Matter movement and said she was part of these peaceful protests at the same time that riots were breaking out over in Wisconsin, looting shops and brandishing guns at police. Now, the latest riot was sparked in response to the non-indictment of a black police officer who shot a black suspect who reportedly first shot a gun at the officer. But apparently, little details like that no longer matter to Black Lives Matter. You're not allowed to kill a black criminal or we will come to your town and trash your Starbucks. Now, Mike Pence asked Kamala Harris whether she and Biden would pack the court if they won. She refused to answer the question. And Pence made a point of saying, you know, I want it noted. She refused to answer the question here. And she tried to dodge the issue by bringing up the idea that Donald Trump and Mike Pence have been packing the court system with white judges, that there weren't enough black and Hispanic judges. And that was how she dodged the question about packing the Supreme Court. And there was an interview on Fox News earlier today where they were talking about this idea of packing the Supreme Court and what a dangerous escalation it could start. Because once that principle was established, every time either party came into power, they could add more judges to the Supreme Court and fill them in order to gain a majority on the bench. And you do that long enough, you're going to have 562 judges on the Supreme Court bench, which kind of makes being a Supreme Court justice a little less impressive. Anyway, we ran our own poll on who won the vice presidential debate, and 92% of the votes said Mike Pence won, and 8% said Kamala Harris won. So those are the numbers from the whatreallyhappened.com readers. Now, as for Joe Biden himself, he is out there strongly supporting statehood for Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia, because he knows they'll both be Democratic voters and Democratic representatives to help skew the House of Representatives. And in a speech just last night, he restated it. The problem is, at the same time, the governor of Puerto Rico was endorsing President Trump for re-election. Right? Now, there's a big stink going on right now over next week's debate, or maybe it's not going to happen until the 22nd. And it all began this morning when the Presidential Debate Commission issued a statement that the next debate would be virtual, with Joe Biden and Donald Trump coming via video from two remote locations and talking to the moderator. And Trump answered back saying that he absolutely would not engage in a virtual debate with Biden because of the possibility he could be cut off. And he says what the public wants to see is a one-on-one debate between Trump and Biden. So he says, I'm not going to do a virtual debate. And at the last word that we had was the commission is rethinking their position. But Biden initially said that he would show up to the virtual debate. Then he also turned around and said that if the debate was virtual and Trump wasn't going to show up, that he was not going to show up and instead would hold a town hall meeting where ordinary, everyday voters, if you believe that, could ask their honest, serious questions, if you believe that, for him to answer. And we know in these town halls, they'll pre-select the voters who are going to be called on, and they'll hand them little scripts as to what questions to ask so that Joe Biden can read the answers off the teleprompter here. Now, Nancy Pelosi is out there saying that tomorrow there's going to be a discussion in Congress about invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump from office. Their concern is that some of the medication he's taking for the COVID treatment are affecting his mental health. Now, earlier today, Trump tweeted out that he feels he's completely cured. He's waiting for a negative test. And so it's going back and forth. But Nancy Pelosi was telling reporters on Capitol Hill today, we're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment. She refused to give any more details. It sounds like it's a trial balloon to see if she can get enough people to sign on. Because if you read the 25th Amendment, it takes a lot to invoke it. A lot of people have to sign on to it. And getting that number of people, especially in those positions together, I don't think Pelosi can do it. But, you know, we'll see. At this point, they're desperate here. Of course, that's going to put Mike Pence in the Oval Office. And who knows, maybe Pelosi's plan is to find some way to get rid of Mike Pence, at which point she would become the interim president for the rest of Trump's term. And we're seeing more and more liberals out there talking about President Pelosi. What a great thing that would be. I disagree. You know, we talk about Joe Biden's age and Donald Trump's age. Pelosi has them both beat. All righty. Now, getting on back to the Russian collusion hoax. More documents have come on out that Obama knew about what Hillary was doing with Russiagate. And apparently documents have surfaced that he was fully briefed and knew about it and apparently thought it was really cool here. Now, for years since the Russian collusion investigation was revealed to be a witch hunt, a lot of political sages speculated that there was no way the FBI and U.S. intelligence agencies could have mounted a counterintelligence operation against the president without the current occupant knowing about it. Well, turns out they were right. Obama knew. Now, there was a memo released last week by Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe about the origins of Russiagate. And the memo made the claim that Hillary Clinton approved the campaign in July of 2016 to try and link Donald Trump to Russia's alleged hacking of the DNC emails to distract from Clinton's own email scandal. And to a degree, it worked. Everybody dropped the question about her email server and what was on it here. So apparently a lot of former intelligence officials spoke out. That they were appalled at Ratcliffe's decision to declassify the memo. So the DNI declassified documents showed the claim was not as unverified as these former intelligence officials were saying on the corporate media. In the memo released last week, Ratcliffe said handwritten notes from former CIA Director John Brennan indicated that Brennan and President Obama on Clinton's plot. And of course, Tuesday of this week, Ratcliffe declassified all those notes. Now, getting on back to Michael Flynn, the Justice Department is claiming that they accidentally altered a document it filed in court in its ongoing effort to dismiss charges against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. They're claiming that a wayward sticky note that was scanned onto a key piece of evidence department officials have cited in seeking to abandon the case. The document is a set of undated notes from former FBI agent Peter Strzok summarizing a January 5th, 2017 Oval Office meeting in which President Barack Obama, FBI Director James Comey, and other national security officials discussed Flynn's contact with Russian officials. The scanned sticky note, however, included a date range of January 4th through 5th, 2017. Now, why that would cause a problem, I am not sure. But apparently they're out there trying to cover their bases and say this was a mistake here. All right. Donald Trump has ordered the complete declassification of all Russia hoax documents. He's saying no redactions whatsoever. Trump tweeted out, "I have fully authorized the total declassification of any and all documents pertaining to the single greatest political crime in American history, the Russia hoax. Likewise, the Hillary Clinton email scandal, no redactions." So he's basically said that all has to be released. Now, he's authorizing the release and declassification. It remains to be seen if anybody's going to comply with that. Because remember, all of these agencies were part of that Russiagate plot. The FBI didn't want to investigate because they were part of it. And over at the CIA, Gina Haspel is still hiding Russiagate documents from the public. And apparently she's trying to run out the clock, hoping that Biden will win in November or succeed in stealing the election. And probably the CIA is going to help him do it, because otherwise Trump is going to get those documents and it's going to embarrass the CIA. And the CIA, like the FBI, has one unwritten rule: never embarrass the agency. So Haspel is hoping Trump will lose in November so that the documents will never see the light of day. Now, there's an interesting article that came on out from Zero Hedge. Americans can no longer afford the luxury of caring if Trump did this or that. And it's saying that many Americans simply don't care anymore what Trump did or did not do. And when it comes to choosing the next president, there are far greater issues than Trump's past. As for the thought of Russia's meddling in the 2016 election or whether Trump colluded with the Russians, by now, most people seem to have made up their mind. People are either outraged, simply concerned, or taken the attitude this is all a big nothing burger and lies promoted by his enemies. Now, there's polls out there right now saying that to the American voter, the economy is the number one issue right now. They're hurting out there. The American voter is hurting. And they're very upset over the inability of the government to get together a new stimulus bill for them. And, of course, both parties are pointing fingers at each other, with Trump saying that the Democrats are asking for way too much that's not related to coronavirus and the economy, and the Democrats simply saying, well, Trump is refusing to make a deal with us. And there it sits. Now, supposedly, Trump has approached the Democrats with a simple bill, which is just for the stimulus payments. And Nancy Pelosi came out with a very bizarre statement, saying that she's okay with this little bill as long as the big bill is passed with it, which is her way of saying, you know, it's my way or the highway. All right, getting back to politics and corruption here. Story coming out of the Daily Mail in Great Britain. Hunter Biden was paid $3.5 million by a Russian oligarch to open doors for her construction business in America. This is when Joe Biden was vice president. Now, Russia's richest woman, Yelena Baturina, has refused to discuss her alleged payment of $3.5 million to Joe Biden's son, Hunter. But her brother, Viktor Baturin, has sort of blown the whistle, saying the money was a payment to enter the American market. Funny how the corporate media is not looking at that. All righty. Discarded absentee ballots with votes for President Donald Trump were found by agents of the FBI in Pennsylvania's Luzerne County. Okay, the U.S. Attorney for the Middle District in Philadelphia, David Freed, confirmed that a small number of military ballots were discarded, and investigators have recovered 9 ballots as of the writing. 7 of the 9 absentee ballots recovered were cast for Trump, while the contents of the remaining 2 are unknown after election officials in the county resealed them in envelopes. A lot of funny stuff going on here. A huge trove of Pennsylvania mail-in ballot applications sent by the Trump campaign were found destroyed in USPS trailers right here in Seymour, Indiana. So the post office is not the trustworthy entity it used to be. All right. Getting on to wokeness and protests and so forth. Apparently, Black Lives Matter is taking their rioting into the suburbs in Wisconsin. They descended into the Wisconsin city of Wauwatosa after a police officer wasn't charged in a shooting that led to the death of 17-year-old Alvin Cole. Cole was killed when he opened fire on officers, and the district attorney's office announced that the officer who shot Cole would not be charged. Okay, we got to take a break here for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome to the welcome back to our show here, getting on back to the news. We're talking about the riots in Milwaukee in the suburb, and apparently the Black Lives Matter rioters smashed the window of homes in the suburb following the black officer cleared in the shooting death of an armed black teen who shot at the police here. So the Black Lives Matter supporters are attacking homes in the suburb, and the violence followed the district attorney's decision that police officer Joseph Mensa was justified when he shot Alvin Cole on February 2nd. After nightfall on Wednesday, demonstrators smashed out storefront windows in Wauwatosa before marching down a residential street and hurling large rocks through the windows of homes. Gosh darn those white supremacists. What can I tell you? Interesting little video surfaced of a cashier working at a Speedway convenience store in Milwaukee that was being looted, and the cashier was handing out bags to the Black Lives Matter looters so they could pillage the store and carry off more material. The business was left in complete catastrophe, according to live streamer Brendan Gutenschwager. Let me try that one more time here. Gutenschwager, who was at the scene. Now, he deleted his tweet with the video of the worker handing out the bags, but it had already gone viral online. Once you put something on the internet, it's pretty much impossible to take it back here. Okay, nearly $170 million in government grants, taxpayer money, has passed through a liberal dark money behemoth that houses and shelters and umbrellas over numerous left-wing groups, including Black Lives Matter, Global Network Foundation. The taxpayer-funded grants were dispersed to groups through the Tides Center, which is based in San Francisco. It's a nonprofit incubator that wealthy liberal donors use to bankroll progressive causes. Now, a number of radical left-wing groups have fallen under the auspices of the Tides Center, which acts as a fiscal sponsor to nonprofits by providing its 501c3 tax and legal status. Now, this is so the groups under its umbrella can avoid registering with the IRS. All right, getting on to COVID-19, and the only thing worse than COVID-19 is Biden 20, according to an email I just got. It turns out the head of White House security, Creed Bailey, has been gravely ill with coronavirus. He's been in the hospital since September. They're starting to speculate that he may be patient zero relative to the White House itself, that he had it, brought it into the White House and gave it to everybody there, because there's some 30-odd staffers. We don't have the exact number, but something like 30, 34 is the last number I heard. Staffers in the White House, including two members of the press pool, have come down with COVID-19. So, of course, has the president, but thanks to presidential quality medical care, he seems to be out of that. So the White House has not disclosed Bailey's illness, but was confirmed to Bloomberg News by four sources. Polls are showing that 30% of Americans, when they get into this holiday season and they've got Thanksgiving and they've got Christmas to deal with, 30% of Americans are actually going to take their guest's temperature at the door before allowing them in. Now, it may be just a little bit of overkill, but with all the fear-mongering that we have been seeing, I can certainly understand why some people might want to take that little bit of precaution, you know, especially with these little handheld units now that take the temperature without touching you. All righty, Boris Johnson is at it again. He is basically going into tier three lockdowns on Monday up in the northern area with pubs and restaurants closed. Nicola Sturgeon has announced a two-week restriction in Scotland. Now, the Prime Minister Johnson has signed off on a new traffic light system of curbs for England after days of bitter wrangling between ministers and scientists, with a swath of the country where infections are surging facing that harshest tier three level. Now, Jane Fonda, definitely political, has been all of her career. Remember Hanoi Jane and everything. Apparently, she has triggered a bit of a backlash here by calling COVID-19 God's gift to the left, because it might help Joe Biden beat Donald Trump next month. Now, Fonda is 82 years old. It's been a long way since Barbarella. Made the comment during a virtual sit-in with the U.S. Working Families Party. And Fonda said in the clip, "I just think COVID is God's gift to the left," adding, "It's a terrible thing to say." Yes, Jane, it is. And she reasoned the pandemic had ripped the Band-Aid off Trump and shown people what he stands for and what is being done to average people and working people within the country. It looks bad, Jane. What can I tell you? It really does look bad. All righty, over at the New England Journal of Medicine, they are slamming all of our current leadership, Trump included. I'll tell you what, we got to take another break for commercials, and I'll finish the story when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
Welcome back to our show here, and we were talking about this story where the New England Journal of Medicine is basically trashing Trump and America's leaders for their handling over the COVID-19 case, and is basically telling voters to kick them out. Now, they're not endorsing any replacements. They're not endorsing Joe Biden. But they're roundly denouncing the approach of the Trump administration to COVID-19. All right, we're going to start taking phone calls, 800-313-9443, and we're going to start with Stuart in Maine. Hello, Stuart. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike? I want to raise an issue. You had a caller. I tried to raise this issue on John Stadtmiller's show, but he got a little nervous and had a temper tantrum and threw me off. So,
okay.
That's unfortunate. But the issue was this. You had a caller a few days ago, Mitchell, raised the issue of, is our problem one of an individual or individuals, or is it the system? And
yes.
I would say the problem is the system, okay? Because, small government, which is promoted by what we refer to often as the Patriot Movement, small government
yes.
gets beaten by big capital. By big money, okay? It's it's a, excuse me for a second. It's, I mean, there's, you've got two powers, pretty much. You've got money, and you've got political power. And if you have a small government, it's ripe to be swallowed up by the money power. Now, I maintain that the small government mantra that we hear in the Patriot movement is a big mistake. Mm-hmm. It's 19th century thinking. It's from an era when they were small producers. You didn't have large enterprises. Now, you can say we could break up the enterprises, but maybe those enterprises are efficient, and it works out better. They would have to be investigated on an individual basis. Okay? The other problem connected with this, as I see it, is that there's this kind of hyper-individualism that we have among, you know, fellow thinkers. I mean, you know, you hear people like Ron Paul and others talk about liberty. Well, liberty to do what? To swallow up the media? To spread glyphosate and GMOs all over the place? To ship the factories to the third world? Sweatshops?
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide what is going to be primary, the individual or the nation. And I say, I mean, if you say the individual, you end up with a rat race, a materialist society, a society that with short-term thinking, okay? What's necessary is a nationalist government that will subordinate, you know, the economy to what's in the best interests of the nation, okay? Now, this doesn't mean eliminating private property. And people run around talking about, well, what do you want, socialism? No, I don't want socialism. But capitalism isn't the answer, okay? Capitalism is not the only private property system because it ends up being like what I'm talking about, the effect of hyper-individualism, okay? You got to choose between what's first, the nation or the individual. So what I'm getting at here is an ideology that came about in the last century that nobody seems to understand. You know, I've even had differences with you about it once in a while when I've called in.
Yes. And, I can understand why.
Right. Okay. And that for those who want to really read about it and study it is fascism. Okay. Fascism is private property. But its primary is not economic, it's defense of national culture, okay? And that's why Hitler...
I have to disagree with you on that one. I have to disagree with you on that one. In fact, I disagree with several things that you've said here. I think the fact is that as government grows larger, the more dependent it becomes on the financial sector to support itself and to hang on to power. When this nation was started, we had a very small government where the people who were participating in it had their own businesses and their own source of income, and they didn't need to go begging to other businesses for money to campaign with. In fact, it was set up where they had to raise their campaign funds from ordinary citizens, and there were strict limits so that a particular candidate's war chest was a true reflection of their popular support. I think our history would demonstrate that the larger our central government has become, the more into the pockets of the wealthy it has fallen. Now, as far as what is going to be the center of our political universe, if you remember the history of the Renaissance, prior to that, the attitude of everybody, governments, certainly the church and people, was God was the center of everything. And then because of the Black Plagues, people turned away from God. And the end result was during the Renaissance, there was a reshuffling and man was seen as the center of the universe, which led to this flowering of science and architecture and art and so forth and so on. Now, in the present circumstance, I think fascism is not necessarily the answer because under socialism, if you try and make money and you fail, society is taxed to cover the losses. So you stand up and you try all over again. Under fascism, if you try and make money and you lose money, society is taxed to cover those losses for you, but nothing goes back to society. Whereas under socialism, when a business does do well, they're taxed to help support the society around them. Capitalism, of course, is if you make money, you get to keep it. If you lose money, then you're responsible for that loss. Capitalism, as it's practiced today, has become very, very predatory. It's certainly not what capitalism was originally intended to be. And I think, you know, definitely reigning in the power and influence of the large corporations is an absolute must. I think the Citizens United decision was a horrible mistake because it took the funding of political candidates away from ordinary citizens like you and I and handed it on a silver platter to large multinational corporations.
Well, I would make 2 points to that. One, how are you going to change? First of all, I think my criticism of you on this would be that you frequently confuse oligarchy with fascism. And the second point is, how are you going to change the system by depending on the very people who profit from it? Only by...
Well, I'm not depending on the very people who profit from it. I'm prognosticating that we're coming up on a crash of entire system, the way the Soviet Union fell apart, and that we, the American people, are going to have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to restart this country. And I would, to be brief, I would say that original Constitution's pretty good, along with the first 13 amendments.
Yeah, but you're starting from the... We got here because of small government. It led to this.
Yes, and there were, you know, well, part of the fall, you know, does lie with the American people who've seen this happening generation after generation and didn't really think about it long enough or figured it's going to be the next generation's problem to deal with. But now it's our problem to deal with.
And I'll get off is that, I mean, what I would say is the same thing I told John before he threw his temper tantrum, is that for 100 years, people who have been saying what you've been saying have not been able to change the system, and I say it's because you don't have a strong government. You have a small government, and it's an anachronism. So, with that, I thank you for your time.
Okay, you're welcome. And throughout history, you know, we've seen the rise of the theocratic society, which gave way to the nation-state society, and unfortunately, we are seeing the transition to the corporate state society, and I certainly think it's a bad thing for human civilization overall, and maybe it'll fall down, go boom someplace in the near future. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Joe in California. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Mike. I believe it was Bill Clinton who said the era of big government is over. So these Republicans have proven themselves to be hopelessly pathetic. Government's expanded; it's ballooned since George W. Bush and even under Trump. And you don't hear any objections from the likes of Sean Hannity when it comes to big government and deficits. Only when it was under Democrats. All we heard were stories about Obama's deficits. So. Just wanted to get that out there.
Well, I mean, you know, traditionally the Democrats have been the tax and spend party, and the Republicans have tried to rein in big government, but they've definitely dropped the ball in the last couple of administrations.
Yeah, Mike, just a couple points, and I just hope you can hold me over if there's a commercial.
No, we've got time.
I think there's too much, once again, there's too much of this attacking the other callers. I heard Miles yesterday or the day before from Maine, and he always has some good things to say, but he just came on and he was critical of that fellow from Tennessee, and then he just hung up. So I hope we hear more from Miles, but he just came on and made that short criticism and then hung up. So we need to focus on the issues.
I agree, and we're trying to clamp down on the personal rancor among the callers.
Yeah, because I like Miles. Miles and Joe, they always have good things to say. Mike, you heard on the debate last night about Kamala Harris was critical of Trump, the fact that he was a puppet of Putin, and she brought up that story. It's been disproved about the bounties being paid to the Taliban to kill U.S. soldiers.
Yes.
What would Joe Biden do that Trump and the U.S. government hasn't already done to Russia? They've been sanctioned to death. I mean, what are we talking about? Dropping nukes on Moscow? I mean, what else can be done? What would Joe Biden do to show his independence from Putin that Trump hasn't already done?
I can't think of anything. I mean, you know, we're hovering at the edge of a proxy war over in Armenia, Azerbaijan. That whole area could blow up into a regional proxy war where the United States and Russia are pouring in people, and, you know, it could be another Syria.
Yeah. And, Mike, what do you make of this story about Governor Whitmer? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. This story about her being, they allegedly arrested five or six people in a kidnapping plan. Have you heard about that?
Yes. Yeah, it's been all over the news all over the day. A lot of people think the same thing, that it was basically staged to win her some sympathy at a time when most of the voters in her state wish that she and her COVID-19 lockdown decision would go away.
Exactly. It's in order to generate sympathy because she lost that court case in Michigan, and it's been a good time. You've seen cases in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and now in Spain. They basically slapped down the restrictions in Madrid. So I think the Supreme Court gets even more important, especially if Biden wins. If he imposes nationwide lockdowns, it could go to could have a case going to the Supreme Court. But I think this Whitmer story is a lot like what happened with Angela Merkel. I don't know if you recall this, and I knew it from the beginning. She had these episodes of shaking in public, okay, which has now stopped. At that time, her popularity was quite low, and she once again, these leaders. I don't believe these leaders. Never. They could tell me the time in a room full of clocks. I wouldn't trust them. She comes out and says she has these episodes of shaking publicly. That's supposed to generate sympathy for her among the German people. And now those episodes have stopped. So I don't buy it. I don't believe this Whitmer story. I think it's all a bunch of baloney. I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay. I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, we get lied to so much. All right, Joe. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go and switch over to Dave in Orlando. Hello, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm on a 50-year-old dial phone plugged into a Bell South jack, so I hope you can hear me okay.
I can. Does it have a rotary dial on it?
Yeah.
Cool. How retro.
Yeah. I converted it to do touch tone. And anyway, before I get to the point here, this Saturday, October 10th, will be the 30th anniversary of Naira El-Sabah and Babies Incubators testimony back, that got the whole 30 years and going Iraq war. So
yeah.
Anyway, just want to preface this. Now I'm a Canadian. I can't vote. You know, my wife is an American citizen, and I'm trying to convince her to write you in as either sheriff or DA here in Orange County. But what I really want to say is, of all the people that have done this to us, this economic catastrophe over this past 7 months, not one of those people telling us to stay locked down or, you know, stay home, stay safe, stay locked down. You know, none of those people have missed a meal. None of them have, you know, missed a paycheck. They haven't gone without medication. They don't have destroyed credit. They're not getting calls from bill collectors. I mean, they're not on the precipice of homelessness. And, you know, something's got to give here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing the warning signs everywhere, and Ron Paul's running ads on Fox News now about, you know, the whole system is going to come apart in the near future, and you'd better be ready for it.
Yeah, well, we have been arming up in my household. That's all I can tell you. I mean, I'm not in a position to start a war here, but it's been pretty safe here in Orlando so far, because back on June 1st, the Orlando police actually fought back against the rioters, and it's been pretty quiet here. So we've been fortunate, but these masks have to come off, and we have to get back to work.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And Claire and I are still wearing our masks when we go out. We have been all along, more out of a sense of politeness. But now that we've been exposed to COVID-19, we're trying to be careful for, people around us and everything, although we're still not symptomatic. We're going for our test tomorrow, and hopefully it's going to come back negative, and this will all have been for nothing. But as far as the masks are concerned, I keep seeing all these articles out there saying they're really not effective. I know that when I'm wearing a mask and I put on my sunglasses, when I exhale, the sunglasses fog. So obviously what I'm exhaling gets around the mask and flies out into the space around me anyway. So, you know, I keep hearing that N95s are the only mask that is going to work against the virus, and yet I don't see any N95 masks out there. It's all these homemade masks, and, you know, people are wearing scarves and old bandanas. And so it's politics and public relations more than it is real science.
Well, I lived up in Toronto back in 2003 during the SARS outbreak up there. I worked in public transit, a bus driver, and yeah. I was exposed to literally thousands of people. And I never, number one, I never got sick, and number two, all the stuff that's being done here was never done up there. I know you got a break coming.
Okay.
One last thing: eat your cinnamon.
Okay, definitely we're doing that. Dave, I got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with more phone calls after these two words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to go back to the phones to Joe in Tennessee. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike.
I see Pelosi now has moved on to her next scheme, which is the 25th Amendment.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a very frustrating time for a pro-Trump type person, populist, nationalist.
Yes.
But when I see them do things like this, I realize that that is not coming from a position of strength. I mean, that's not the kind of, like, thing that you do if you're holding all the cards and your side
yeah.
is winning. So I think that's a good indication to me that, you know, they deep
they're
down,
panicking.
They're panicking, yeah. A lot of what they've been doing lately has been panicking. I mean, with the Black Lives Matter and supporting mm-hmm. that kind of, they're, like, reaching for these radical type, you know, tools to try to win this election, and you know, cheating by mail and all this other stuff. Oh, these are all things that they wouldn't be doing unless they knew that they were in for big trouble. And
yes,
you know, because if you're going to win, why would you destroy, like, credibility? Because you're going to need that credibility when you regain your power. And the credibility has been really, I mean, I'm very frustrated with the whole FBI CIA thing, because I want to see people go to jail. But then again,
yes.
as a person that despises what the CIA and the FBI has become, they've done such a good job by not putting these people in jail, has created more discredit upon both the FBI and the CIA. I mean, you put a new director in after getting rid of the absolutely provable corrupt Comey, and what does he do? He covers up for Comey, the institution, and destroys the FBI even further than Comey did. You know, keeps it going in the loss of, and the same way with the CIA. You get rid of the absolute corrupt Brennan, and you put in a Haskell,
yeah.
you know, because that's who's recommended, whether he did it on purpose, because they just get in there, and what do? They hide all the evidence, they block the evidence, they move the ball even further. Instead, you know, they had an opportunity, Ray and Haskell, to rehabilitate the FBI and the CIA by coming clean to the American people. But no,
yep.
did they? No. It just shows.
Well, they're trapped by their own career. They're trapped by their own history. I mean, if they start coming clear on some of the stuff they've done recently, inevitably Americans are going to say, well, what about back then? What about the Black Panther coloring book? What about the framing of James Earl Ray? What about the John F. Kennedy assassination? I mean, these agencies are in a real sense trapped. They can never admit they've lied to the American people, or the whole thing unravels all the way back to the beginning.
Well, that's what we're seeing, actually. We are seeing the unraveling.
Yes.
We are seeing the fact that, you know, you have to educate the average American who's not, you know, the Sean Hannity watcher. At first, they love the FBI. Everybody that watches Sean Hannity, oh, Fox News, oh, big pro-FBI guys. Now, after TikTok and getting a good education on the corruption of the FBI and the CIA, they are total. They actually, you had David Nunes, the head of the Intelligence Committee at one time for the House. Now I guess he's second in command under Schiff because they don't have power, saying that these agencies need to be shut down, the FBI and the CIA. And I'm like, yeah, this is wonderful. And once again, I hear a lot of people calling in criticizing Trump and all that, but really to have...
No, I got to put you on hold.
Okay.
Joe, I got to put you on hold.
Okay,
don't hang
great.
Up. I'm going to come back to you after station identification.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food. regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.